Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on the issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Welcome to today's episode of New Cyber Frontier. Today, a show I am very excited about, which we recorded a month or so back with the state's compliance officer for the state of Colorado. But today's show is about a new bill that has passed in Colorado called Cyber Coding Cryptology for State Records, in which we're looking at programs throughout the state of Colorado that can benefit by security designed in and using distributed ledger technology in doing so to make accountability, auditability, privacy for individuals, and just improve cybersecurity across the board in these state programs. And this bill, I engage with the prime sponsors, who are our Senator Kent Lambert, Senator Angela Williams, Representative Joanne Gennell, and Representative Bob Rankin. We thank all four of those, especially for being the prime sponsors and making this bill happen, pushing it all the way through the legislative process, which I learned a lot about how that works here in Colorado, and I guess for the world of politics here, legislation in the United States in general. But this bill really is about how do we find resources and make resources available for funding distributed ledgers in state programs, and how do we determine what the return on investment is contrasted with what types of losses or even cyber operations that are risked in our programs currently in the state. Check out the bill sometime on the Colorado Legislature, Senate Bill 18-086. And a special thanks to everybody involved with passing this through. I know we did numerous testimonies as well as the work we did putting together the technical aspects of the bill, and just totally excited about what is in store for the state of Colorado and moving forward in partnership with the National Cybersecurity Center, University of Colorado, Colorado State University, Pikes Peak Community College, and a few other universities called out specifically in the bill, and individuals from those, including Vance Brown, the CEO of the NCC, who supported on numerous occasions, as well as some other people who call out specifically Nick Mosur from Blockframe, who testified for us in a couple of instances. But just everybody that was involved, we appreciate and thank extensively. And today's show is with the state's compliance officer, and we'll turn over to that in a minute as Trace Ridpath, who works for the Governor's Office of Information Technology here in the state of Colorado, is our guest today. I know you will enjoy it and look into what we have going on here in Colorado, because it's really the leading edge in what's going on in cyber. We'll say security designed in for the world. You'll see replications of this throughout the industry in so many ways. But stay involved and stay tuned for what we have going on, as well as some other local community groups that we have going on here developing some of these blockchain platforms for the state governance. Contact us at New Cyber or Logic Central Online if you'd like to find out more or get plugged into some of these things going on. But thanks a lot and enjoy this show with Trace Ridpath today. Today I have a show where we're going to talk about blockchain and blockchain's use in governance and government. And on with me I have Trace Ridpath, who is the Director of Security Governance for the Governor's Office of Information Technology of the state of Colorado. Welcome today, Trace. How are you?
Good morning, Chris. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Sure, and I'm really excited. I've been working along with Trace and some other teams here in Colorado. I think they're doing some groundbreaking work here in looking at blockchain for government programs. So, Trace, give us a background of how you became involved with this project and a little bit about what the project is and just, you know, background with your, from your own standpoint.
Sure, absolutely. So I personally became interested in blockchain technology as it relates to cybersecurity. Probably the typical way that a cybersecurity professional would become interested in is trying to understand the way cryptocurrencies are used in cyber attacks. And so my team and I kind of, just through wanting to do professional development and have a better understanding of the way that worked, wanting to understand how cyber criminals were leveraging that technology to steal or ransom funds from their victims, I kind of began doing a deep dive into the technology, really more focused on cryptocurrencies. And during the course of that research, started discovering, I think, the way a lot of people have is that the foundational technology under which cryptocurrencies are built is this blockchain distributed ledger technology, and began realizing, much like a lot of the cyber tool sets that cyber criminals use, they're legitimate, helpful, potentially groundbreaking technologies. They're just being used for bad as opposed to good. And so we began researching the way blockchain technology could be leveraged for other purposes aside from cybercrime, and came to realize that much like a tool like Nmap can be a tremendously powerful tool to help system and network administrators understand the layout of their network, and conversely is helpful for cyber criminals to understand the layout of your systems and network, blockchain technology was identical in that same way.
Yeah.
We can use a hammer. We can use a hammer to build a house, or we can use a hammer to hit someone on the head. It's all in the way the tool is being used and by whom. So
yeah.
So that really was my introduction to the technology was through researching cryptocurrency.
Yeah. You know, I've heard the statement that all technology is morally agnostic. So doesn't
Yes, yeah. So true.
Exactly. So Trace, tell us about the Office of Information Technology, how that relates to the state of Colorado, what you oversee, how that interfaces, 18 executive branch agencies, you said, 28,000 users of the state. Go ahead, give us an idea of how you interface and what you do there.
Yeah, absolutely. So Colorado embarked on a goal to consolidate IT services across its executive branch agencies. There are 18 executive branch agencies, roughly at any given time, depending on how many contractors we have engaged on various projects. We're talking anywhere from 28 to 30,000 users in a given year at these 18 executive branch agencies. OIT consolidated all IT services from each of the individual agencies. At the time, each agency had their own IT shop. And the legislature came together and said, look, we need to be able to leverage economies of scale. The way we're currently doing IT is very inefficient. Some agencies are doing things in IT that are groundbreaking and visionary, and some agencies are barely doing IT at all. There's a great deal of cyber risk across that spectrum, and so we need to consolidate and bring that all under one shop and manage it with a truly enterprise vision. And so that's what happened with the creation of the Governor's Office of Information Technology. We brought all of those distinct 18 separate and standalone IT shops all under one umbrella. That's been a multi-year effort beginning in 2008, and we're now 10 years in, probably 5 to 6 years of actual practical consolidation. We still have a lot of disparate agency-specific systems, but as systems age out, we replace those, and all with an eye toward realizing economies of scale with purchasing for software and services and those types of things. And so the agencies that we serve, we support, run from anywhere from the Colorado Department of Agriculture all the way to the Department of Corrections and everything in between. And we're their IT service provider. And within that, the Chief Information Security Officer for the state of Colorado, Mrs. Deborah Blythe, has statutory authority to set the cybersecurity strategic goals and implement them across the state. So I report and work directly for Debbie. And as a security governance director, it's my job to create and propagate cybersecurity policy, help her with designing cybersecurity strategy, both in the near term and the long term, and to really kind of go out and partner with public and private sector across the state, whether that's small counties to big cities, across the spectrum. And then we also partner very closely with the non-executive branch agencies. Those would be agencies that have their own elected official, for example, the Colorado Secretary of State's office or the State Attorney General's office. And we partner with them very, very closely. The CISO for the state of Colorado has statutory authority to propagate these policies that I just mentioned, and each of those individual non-executive branch agencies must follow and comply with those policies. So not only does she have statutory authority over the OIT consolidated agencies, she has statutory authority across the whole of state government, including higher ed. So we partner very closely with those agencies to ensure that the things that they're doing in cybersecurity closely mirror what OIT is doing. And in many cases, they just adopt our policies outright as theirs, and then they report back to us annually on how they're doing, what gaps they have, and then we partner together to go to the legislature to seek creative ways of finding funding to address these common gaps.
Okay. Well, let's take a break, hear from our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to hear how the state of Colorado and Trace is using blockchain or looking at blockchain for the state programs. Be right back.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Over 3 million data breaches happen every single day. That's over 2,000 records being compromised every minute. So often, we focus on securing web data access. But what if the attackers are already inside, having gained direct access to your storage through data management software? When it comes to communications that go directly into your storage devices, make SNIA your first line of protection. SNIA's conformance testing limits outdated communications that are known to be used by attackers. It works continuously behind the background to make sure your storage is protected. To find out if your data is truly secure, visit our website at www.snia.org/cybertest.
All right, welcome back. We're here talking with Trace Ridpath, the Director of Security Governance for the Governor's Office of Information Technology of the state of Colorado. Chase, before the break, you gave us a very, large picture of the things that you have your hands into and oversight with for the Office of Information Technology. Now let's switch gears and go back to where we started, this blockchain revolution, the excitement around blockchain. How are you looking to use this in the state of Colorado, and what do you have in play right now to start that process?
Yeah, great question. So I would say the state of Colorado, much like our contemporaries across the country, we're kind of in our infancy. We're taking baby steps. I think a lot of convergence has has occurred in the last year around blockchain technology. There have been public and private sector partners that have come together and said, hey, we got to get our hands around this blockchain technology, look at ways we can leverage it to improve the services that we deliver to our customers or, our, in the case of Colorado, our citizens, and see how we can leverage this technology to solve some of these problems that we're experiencing. And so we're looking at use cases currently in state government, and more specifically, I'm looking at use cases in cybersecurity to help improve the security of the systems and data that we maintain on behalf of the citizens that we serve. And so certainly the common uses of blockchain, smart contracts, virtually real-time real property transactions and exchanges, those types of things. We're certainly looking at that. The Department of Human Services at the federal level and at the state level are looking at ways blockchain technology could be integrated into the Medicaid, Medicare, women with infant children, essentially the benefits programs, how that technology could be integrated to eliminate fraud or decrease fraud, improve service to delivery or time to delivery of services, and make it much more efficient and quickly delivered, as well as more secure. And then I'm really excited about blockchain technology around our potential in helping technologies like identity management. Certainly when we get around things like federated identity management for citizens, getting access to government services in a timely manner, in an efficient manner. The thing that comes to mind for me, one of the worst touch points that we have in the state as a citizen and as a person who provides services to citizens is going to the DMV office to get a new driver's license, mm-hmm. or going to your local county offices to renew your license plates or get new license plates. Those are probably two of the most painful touch points citizens have with government outside of maybe interacting with law enforcement. And I think there's a lot of potential in leveraging blockchain technology to make that process much less painful, much less cumbersome on the citizen, and quicker. And so we're excited about exploring those uses. Again, just the digital identity factor and managing those digital identities in a dispersed way that is verifiable and traceable, with utilizing decentralized storage options and those types of things is really, transformative and groundbreaking in my way of thinking.
Yeah, definitely. And I've heard that there's some interest in like the voting platforms controlling, like I think you had mentioned, Medicaid or real estate with smart contracts or government, corporate governance documents, corporate records, things like that, even court system records.
Yeah, absolutely. So just to give you a little bit of background. I'm dating myself. I'm 25 years with the state of Colorado, by the way. But just as recently as 5 years ago, there was an instance where an incarcerated offender had a job at a prison that he was in, and within that job had access to a scanner, a digital scanner, and had access to this for the purpose of making the process of inmate issuance of their canteen orders or their hygiene and supply orders more fast. website was able to credibly forge a legal signature by a judge and was able to, through cooperation of people on the outside of prison, send in a very authentic-looking order from one of the Colorado courts demanding his immediate release. This was a legal document that appeared to be absolutely correct. It got to the point where they were escorting the offender out of prison before they realized what had happened and pulled the inmate back. That inmate was subsequently charged with forgery and received extra prison time. But I think moving toward systems that are not so dependent on manual processes, moving toward digital processes with blockchain technology implemented, would certainly eliminate or substantially reduce those types of mistakes, because mistakes get made regularly, whether it's an inmate doing something that they shouldn't be doing, or there's just a clerical error. Mistakes get made on a regular basis, and those mistakes literally could potentially impact public safety. So, just using that example as an illustration, I think really is demonstrative of where blockchain technology could solve some real world problems and prevent, potentially, life threatening situations.
Yeah, well, let's take a break here. Hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back to talk some more to Trace.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
All right, welcome back. Before the break, we were talking about an incident where an inmate had tried to fake some documents to get himself out of prison. And, it just kind of led to this. We had talked a little bit before, Trace, about the consistency, an inter-organization data transfer, and being able to verify who's who from the different 18 different executive branch agencies you have in the state, 28,000 users, and they're all doing official transactions for the government. And in between that, there's communications that we, in many ways, can't verify. So this consistency between organizations seems to be a great area where the blockchain has immediate impact, or could have an immediate impact. What kind of do you see value-wise being added to either saving taxpayers money or other means of direct, maybe even features that you can charge for, because blockchain has you can charge for each transaction in it. But how do you see that helping the state's financial situations?
Sure, absolutely. I'll be very honest with you, Chris. I haven't really considered the monetization of that, but certainly there are folks that would be interested in that. I really look at the cost savings of eliminating mistakes, reducing mistakes, because mm-hmm. every mistake that gets made costs money to fix.
Yeah.
So I really see less waste on correcting errors and more money to be available for getting the business of the state done in a more efficient and effective way, and hopefully in an elegant way. But certainly Certainly, monetization models will play a huge impact, and where the state can leverage that in a way that is fair to the consumer and fair to the parties involved, I'm sure that will certainly be looked at. But I think any time that you can eliminate the human factor, because we as humans are fallible and we make errors in judgment and mistakes on a regular basis, you can really leverage costing.
Yeah.
So I think any automation or I'm sorry, I can't seem to say that word. Any automation that you can inject into manual processes is always going to end up working out in the favor of the consumer or the customer. So eliminating that human factor from things like authentication, certificate management, all those types of things, those are all things that are going to ensure quick and timely and effective delivery of services while improving, hopefully, security, which is my main focus.
Yeah. And so in doing so, I know the Senate bill that you've been working on, put a lot of time into, Senate Bill 18086, cyber coding for cryptology records. Tell us about that and your thoughts about, you know, how that, you know, helps this effort you're doing, the Office of Information Technology, to, you know, put some power behind implementing blockchain.
Sure, absolutely. I think so. Senator Ken Lambert, whose district is, I believe, in Colorado Springs, here in Colorado, really has been a champion of cybersecurity in general in the state of Colorado, and more recently, specifically, has been a champion in fighting for blockchain technology in legislation. And so his intent and vision is to have our office, the Office of Cybersecurity, within the Governor's Office of Information Technology, to kind of look at best practices and use cases for, and creative use cases for, implementing blockchain to improve cybersecurity. Mm-hmm. I think when we look at some of the big breaches of the last few years, when you look at Equifax and you look at some of the others, blockchain being done in an effective, distributed way could have really impeded the hackers' ability to breach the amount of information that they were able to breach. Certainly, Colorado or state of Colorado is not immune from having cyber incidents. We have them on a regular basis, just like most entities, and we're constantly looking at ways that we can minimize the impact of them. We're never going to be able to eliminate them. So what we're trying to do is effectively manage risk by doing a multitude of things and taking a multitude of approaches, doing good cyber hygiene, doing the basics well as best we can, and then looking to creatively implement new technologies like distributed ledger, like blockchain technologies, to help us minimize the impact. We know that these attacks are going to happen. We know that some of them are going to be successful. We really want to leverage blockchain technology to reduce the impact that they have. So if I lose a computer or a server, but not all of the data, I can live with that. That's a trade-off. That's a manageable area of risk. But if I lose the personal information of a citizen or many citizens, mm-hmm. or hundreds of thousands of citizens, that becomes very impactful, not just for us at the state, but for the citizens themselves. And so that's really where having legislation that grants authority to the CISO to explore and require implementation of blockchain technologies in cybersecurity really, I think, benefits the whole state of Colorado. And so, quite frankly, I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, and we see pretty good support for that. I think hopefully we'll see it pass this session. Any thoughts on where that's at and how that, you know, what your thoughts are there?
Yeah, so the most recent news that I've been aware of is that it's progressing through the regular legislative process pretty well. I haven't been made aware of any major opposition or things of that nature. So I guess we're just going to have to hope for the best and wait and see. But generally speaking, all of the feedback that I've heard so far is that it's got a pretty good chance. I would give it better than even odds of passing and coming to a vote and passing this legislative session.
Yeah, and I definitely can see some benefit, you know, having helped a little bit with putting the bill together, like yourself, with the way that it enables you to find some, you know, a return on investment for implementing these programs based on losses or potential gains, which is gives you guys some tools to be able to say, hey, this program could save this money because we have these type of issues that really could benefit from a distributed ledger. So I think it really gives some benefit there as far as where you know, how to get. One of the biggest problems we have in cybersecurity is how do we decide how much money to spend based on how much we're gaining? And I think for the first time with blockchain, we have a tool that enables us to more link the actual money we're going to gain and the cost savings to a viable return on investment. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think you're absolutely right, Chris. And I want to thank you, by the way, for your help and input with working with the senator and crafting language for the legislation. This was my first experience in coming together in a work group and helping craft legislative language, and I found it incredibly interesting and fascinating. And so, of course, I'm excited to see what happens with it. And I just can't thank you and some of the other experts that you brought in enough for your input and for helping us make sure that the legislation made sense and was well thought out. And hopefully, at the end of the day, circling back to what you just said, helps us with return on investment in a cost avoidance and all of those types of things. I'm really excited to look at if we can get this bill passed in this session. I'm really excited to look at integrating the technology into at least initially our authentication processes.
Yeah.
Anytime we can take and distribute that authentication process around means that you don't have a single target for an attacker to go after. Mm-hmm. So they may get some small piece of it, but they'll never get the full picture, which means they don't get full authentication, which means they don't have access to the soft, juicy underbelly, where all the sensitive information is. And that's what we're really trying to prevent.
Yeah.
So I think, when you're looking at cost avoidance alone, I think the latest statistics from the Ponemon Institute put the cost of each breached record at $217, which is just crazy, and all indicators is that the costs are going to continue to rise. So any organization that's doing risk management effectively is going to need to look at the potential of blockchain and think about how they can implement that into their organization's risk management structure so that they can manage their risk to an acceptable level. And that's really what cybersecurity is about at the end of the day.
Yeah, so definitely glad to have you on. Is there anything that you would like to get out that you could use help with or kind of that you could see people getting involved with that would be helpful for any of your efforts at the Office of Information Technology, Trace?
Yes, absolutely. So one of the best parts of my job that I just absolutely love is it's my responsibility for getting out, interacting, and partnering with as many stakeholders as I can possibly get. So whether that's private sector, public sector, academia, we constantly try to get out and interact and look at some of the common burdens that we all share, some of the struggles that we're all fighting around cybersecurity, and look to see if there are some creative ways that we can come up with to help each other out. And I know nothing is done in the vacuum. We certainly have no monopoly on good ideas by any stretch of the imagination. We're all overtasked and under-resourced, whether it's from public sector, private sector, or academia. And so I think we really need to work together to solve some of these complex issues. So I love to have contact with folks who want to try to come together and help us solve problems.
Okay. Do you have a way for people to reach out to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we recently joined the Government Blockchain Association, and we're going to their Denver chapter meeting. We've connected with a lot of the folks that attend that group. We're looking at them going up to Fort Collins and meeting with some of the blockchain community up there. There's just a whole lot of stuff that we still need to learn about approaching blockchain and certainly around implementing blockchain. So absolutely, I'd love to have people reach out directly, and I'd be more than happy to hear from them.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for joining today, Trace, and you have a great day, and we look forward to seeing good things from this the state and blockchain, hopefully lead the nation and even the world in some good government practices, that's for sure.
Well, thank you so much, Chris. I appreciate you having me today.
All right. Have a good day. Bye. The views or opinions expressed during this podcast are not those of Colorado Technical University.
You have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.